You're listening to the Home Base Podcast. This week on Home Base Podcast, we're talking about cold and flu season. What are the differences in the symptoms? What are the three things doctors look for? And how you can even prevent getting sick? Tune in. Hey there guys, happy November. Hope you guys all had a happy, awesome Halloween. We took our little guy out trick-or-treating. I know. I took a 10-month-old out trick-or-treating, but it was adorable. He did really good at the first house. Like, he had his little pumpkin that, you know, pumpkin like basket to hold all his candy or whatever. So he had his little pumpkin, and like he stood there while daddy held one of his hands, and mommy rang the doorbell, and he stood there holding his pumpkin, and we said trick or treat, and then the people like had a bowl of candy, and they bent over, and he picked out a piece, and then we had to help him put it in the pumpkin, and then the next house he was over it. So we did a couple houses, and it started to rain like it does this time of year in the lovely Midwest, and so then that was it, and we kind of wrapped it up, and that was our Halloween. So hope you guys had a great Halloween, and we ate all his candy already too. Aren't we the awesomest parents ever? So today we are going to talk about, because it is the season for the sniffles, we're going to talk about cold and flu season, what the differences are between just everyday common cold and the flu, and we're going to talk about what are the three things your doctors look for so that you kind of know whether you need to call or if it's something serious, or you kind of just give you an insight of what doctors are going to ask you if you do call in about your child's symptoms. And then we're going to talk about how to prevent it. And I know there's probably some of you out there that you're like seasoned parents, your kids are older, or you have a few and you're like, psh, I don't need this. We've been through tons of cold and flu seasons. I think this is really great, kind of a checklist of reminders. And I have a couple few preventatives on here that maybe you haven't quite heard of yet, and they're super easy, and it's just insane how awesome they work. So we're going to dive into that later. So yeah. So what else has been going on? For those of you that did not hear last week's episode, you need to go listen to it, because it is all about embracing November and fall and just kind of how this is the season of thankfulness, and how as parents we really need to drive home that lesson to our kids. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, go over and listen to it too. That way you kind of are in this great mindset for November and getting your family prepped for Thanksgiving. And there's a bunch of awesome activities you can do with your family to kind of help prepare them for the holiday season. So make sure you don't miss out on that one. It was really great. And you can find it on iTunes, wherever you're listening to this episode. You can also find a post, tons of awesome posts with more great ideas on family-friendly activities over at homebasepodcast.com. And when you're done checking that out, make sure you go over to Twitter and Instagram and follow me over there, Homebase Podcast. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick musical break, and then when we get back, we're going to jump into what are the differences between the cold and the flu and what to look for in your tiny little munchkins. So stay tuned. All right, guys, we're back. Hey. All right, so I know, like, it's really scary when you become a first-time parent and your kid gets their first cold. It's just, it's not fun. It's not fun, and especially when they're really little and they get the runny and the stuffy noses and they don't know how to blow, and so you've got all this gunk up there, and you try to, like, use the little aspirator, little bulb thingies to suck it out of their nose. And I told you guys a few weeks ago about the nose sucker and how you totally need to get one of those. But still, like, it's just hard. It's hard. They're congested. They're yucky. They can't tell you what hurts. And it just makes things difficult. And you play this, like, guessing game of wanting to know, like, should I call the doctor? Should I not call the doctor? What do I do? Is this the flu? Is this the cold? So we're going to kind of break it down for everybody today, let you know kind of what to look for, what's serious, what's not serious, and that way everybody's just kind of on the same page and you're ready for this cold and flu season and you'll be super uber prepared. All right, so it's really hard with babies, I think. As kids get older, they can kind of talk to you and let you know, and it just makes life a lot easier. But when they're itty-bitty, it's really hard. So let's kind of talk about what babies with the flu look like. So babies with the flu, they usually have symptoms that resemble a fever, chills, a hacking cough, a sore throat, a runny nose, body aches, and fatigue. Vomiting and diarrhea are actually unusual for the flu. A lot of us, when we hear the flu, we automatically think vomiting or diarrhea, and that's actually unusual. So you really want to focus in, I feel like, chills, a fever, body aches, and fatigue. Those are the ones that are really kind of stick out to you. So your other symptoms, like the runny nose and the sore throat, those you're going to see with your common cold. But the vomiting and diarrhea, they can happen. But babies, they can get very ill very fast. So you're going to want to call 911 if you notice fast or difficult breathing. That's kind of their breathing is so, so key and so important. And if you notice them really struggling to breathe, that's kind of automatic means to call 911 or speak to your physician immediately. Or if you see signs of dehydration, not waking up or interacting, persistent vomiting, or any other severe symptom along those lines. So that's kind of what the flu looks like for babies. Babies with a cold typically have a lower fever, if any at all, and they have a runny nose and just minor coughing. Okay, so none of those aches, none of that fatigue, you know, kids with a cold, they still have kind of their energy and for the most part they play and everything seems all right. It's really when you start seeing your kids getting kind of lethargic and out of it, you should kind of be like, what's going on? So kind of, it seems like parents, they often look first at whether their child has a fever, but unless the fever is high or lasts longer than 3 days or the baby's younger than 3 months, fever doesn't tell the doctor much. Instead, doctors focus on these following three things, and we're going to get into what they look at. So what they look at how is your child acting? For starters, and that's where I'm talking about kind of the lethargic and acting fatigued and just not right, you know, especially as moms and dads, we just know when our kids aren't right, you can just kind of look at them and be like, something is just not right. You know, we expect small children to be sleepy and irritable when they feel sick. Everyone is. But if your child can't stay awake or won't stop crying even when you're comforting them, that's kind of a cause for concern and it calls for a trip to the doctor for sure. So that's the first thing your doctor's going to look for is how are they acting. Something else they're going to ask you about, how is your child breathing? So, and we touched on this earlier, but look for irregular or labored or rapid breathing. Check to see whether the triangular shape between your baby's ribs caves in when he or she breathes. So like that area right between your rib cage where your rib cages kind of meet, little triangle right there. You kind of want to watch that, see if that moves up and down. If you can see the ribs and if the chest seems to pull in when he or she is breathing in and out, call your doctor. Also call if you hear whistling or crackling sounds when they breathe. That's kind of interesting. I'm kind of looking at my notes here, and yeah, so a crackling sound. I wouldn't maybe necessarily call so much if it's whistling, because that could just be something stuck in their nose, but crackling, that's kind of different. Use a clock with a second hand and count how many breaths your baby takes in 10 seconds. Multiply that number by 6 so you can tell your doctor how many breaths they're taking per minute. Call 911 if your baby is taking more than 60 breaths per minute or turning blue around the mouth. So there's a couple guidelines on kind of what to look for as far as irregular breathing. And then the last thing your doctor is going to really look for is your child taking liquids? I think it's so funny because this is it. This is exactly anytime I've called the doctor, they're like, well, how do they seem? Are they breathing okay? And are they drinking? These are the three questions asked all the time. So although your children don't have to eat when they're ill, drinking fluids is, I mean, you have to do it so they don't get dehydrated. So, you want to try to push those fluids and make sure they're still taking them. In a 24-hour period, a young child needs about 1.5 ounces of liquid per pound of body weight. So, an example would be a 10-pound baby needs about 15 ounces of liquid per day, and a 20-pound baby would need 30. So, there you go. If your baby refuses to drink or nurse or can't keep any liquid down for several hours, you definitely want to call your doctor. So those are the three things they're going to look for, and we talked about the differences in the symptoms, and we talked about how vomiting, diarrhea, those are rarities, but they do happen. But you mainly, with your flu, you want to look for those chills and the fever and the fatigue and the acting lethargic. And really just going down those three things that doctors look for, the how are they acting, how are they breathing, and how many liquids are they taking in. If you just kind of really look at those three things, that should really point you in the direction of what's wrong and, you know, is this serious enough to really call your doctor over. But I mean, by no means should you not call your doctor. If you just feel like something's wrong and you're nervous about it, that's what they're there for. So I'm just trying to give you guys a little bit of kind of some confidence, you know? Maybe you can look at it and be like, oh, well, my kid's still drinking a lot. They're a little lethargic, but they're still breathing and everything's okay. So 2 out of 3, I think they're probably pretty good. We're going to give them, you know. It's just a basis to give you guys a little bit of confidence and not be so stressed out. Nobody needs added stress during this time of year, am I right? So let's move on and talk about what we can do to prevent. So an obvious thing is your flu shot. Both you and your kids. It's good for obviously your children to get their flu shot, but it's really great for the whole family to get one because then it just keeps the sickness out of the house. Those flu shots aren't a guarantee that you're not going to get it. I mean, if someone is right there in your house and they have the flu and they're in your face and in your space, you know, even though your child got their flu shot, they may still come down with it. So just trying to keep it out of your house as a whole is always a good thing, and a good move to do that is just to get the whole family their flu shot. Taking vitamins, that's always a great thing to do year round, but I especially think this time of year it's always a great idea to just kind of add either a multivitamin, or there's tons of vitamins that are just specifically for your immune health, so like your vitamin C. Vitamin D is actually a good one for your immune health and, I mean, bones, and it has a lot of great purposes to it. I take vitamin D, and I also take vitamin A and fish oil for my eyesight because I have horrible, horrible vision. And so I'm trying to help my eyes just stay as healthy as long as possible. Bad eyesight runs in my family so much. So trying to keep up with that now. But vitamin D is a really good one just for everybody in the family to take. And, you know, that's actually something, and I'm amazed, like our doctor prescribed my son a vitamin D supplement, and other doctors, they don't do it, but our doctor told us that a lot of breastfeeding mothers, their milk is kind of low in vitamin D, and so a lot of times breastfeeding mothers are prescribed a vitamin D supplement for their children. So, like my son is just a little liquid, and he gets a little bit of it every day, and he's had a little bit of it every day since he was pretty much since we brought him home. So, but I've talked to other people, and their doctors haven't prescribed this. I do think it's a great thing because, like I said, it's great for bones, it's great for your immune health, and it's just an all-around great vitamin to take. So maybe bring that up to your doctor if you have small kids. I know he said that he's going to stay on this vitamin D supplement until he starts drinking cow's milk. So once we get to that point, then the vitamin D that he needs is in that milk. So we won't have to take it anymore. So if you have kids that are young enough and you're still nursing, you might want to ask your doctor, be like, hey, what's up about this vitamin D supplement business, if you aren't doing it already. But it's also just a great thing for everybody in your house just to take a multivitamin or some kind of vitamin for the season. They also have like those emergency packets, and it really is, it's like MERGENC, emergency, I think is what it is, like big capital C. Basically, it is a vitamin C powder, and you can dissolve it in liquid, and they have all sorts of different flavors. There's like orange and pink lemonade and raspberry and all sorts of stuff, and they really don't taste bad. We normally keep a box of those in the house, and when one of us gets sick, we really start pounding back the emergencies. So that's a great thing to have in your house as well. I've heard a lot of people swear by bee pollen. They eat, like, I don't know if it's like a spoonful or a teaspoon of bee pollen every day or something like that, or a couple times a week or something, but there's all sorts of different vitamins and things in bee pollen that helps build your immune system. So that could be something worth looking into, is bee pollen. Another great thing to do to help prevent cold and flus is to load up on your veggies. I know it seems like a duh, but it is really something that if you stop and ask yourself, being like, well, am I really eating all my vegetables that I'm supposed to every day? I know I'm not, guys, so I'm so preaching to myself right now. But yeah, loading up on veggies, really making sure you're getting those, what is it, like, see, I don't even know, I think it's like 3 to 5 servings a day of vegetables is our required thing. I think that sounds right. It's at least 3. I want to say it's 3 to 5. So load up on your veggies. Make sure you're eating them at every meal. I know I have heard from lots of different people that are very big into fitness. I feel like I've heard this a lot, that when you put your plates together, I don't know how these people do breakfast, because I just don't even want to think about eating vegetables at breakfast. That just seems weird. that just gave you guys a whole lot of insight into my diet. but I've heard that when you make your plate, you should try to make like 70% of it vegetables, and then the rest of it can be whatever else you want, your protein and fats and sugars and stuff. But if you make 70% of it vegetables, I guess it's like the best way to really keep your weight at a good healthy place. So there you go, little health food, I don't want to say diet, but there's a little health tip for you there. 70% of your plate should contain vegetables. But loading up on vegetables is a great way to help boost your immune system and get all the vitamins you need to help combat and fight off the cold and flu, for sure. Try, and I think this is a fun thing, try an immune-boosting smoothie. So you're like, the vegetables, not really quite my thing. I'll do my, 1 or 2 servings What would be something else I could do? Try a smoothie. And I think this is great for kids. You can get some orange juice going on in there, some apple juice. Those both are very high in vitamin C. Actually, grape juice, and I'm not talking like the super sugary grape juice, like get some like legit good all-natural grape juice. It's actually really good for you. It has lots of different health benefits. I want to say somebody said it has like the same health benefits as like a glass of red wine, which isn't surprising because they're both grapes. But so that would be a great way to help extend those heart healthy benefits to your kids. Cranberry juice is another great one. But you can mix anything in a smoothie. And this day and age with all the recipes on Pinterest and all the like smoothie recipe books out there that come with your Ninja or Magic Bullet or whatever, all these awesome food blending processors out there, you can make anything taste good. So I've seen and tried some really great like green smoothies that really taste really good. I have to say, a lot of them contain pineapple. I think that's like the secret ingredient that makes green smoothies taste good is pineapple. But so you can get really creative about it and get some awesome stuff in there. And they're fun. They're bright colors. You can get some silly straws. Make it fun. Get your kids involved in making it because there's nothing more fun than blending something. And so you guys can get some great immune boosting smoothies going on and get everybody all those vitamins and things to keep them healthy this season. A couple awesome other things you can do. So another no-brainer, I know, and your doctor tells it to you all the time, and we could probably all say this in unison right now: wash your hands. But here's the thing, I think a lot of parents skip this step. So they tell their kids, you need to wash your hands, you need to wash your hands. You're coming to the dinner table, did you wash your hands? They went to the bathroom, did you wash your hands? Like you monitor the washing the hands. But I think there's a big difference in like grinding it into them and beating it into them than sitting down and explaining to them, why do we wash our hands? So I know I'm getting to my teacher roots here, but I have some fun activities that you guys can do to help your kids understand why we wash our hands, what are germs, and how are they shared and spread and cause all sorts of problems. So really sitting your kids down and explaining, germs are microscopic, they're tiny, we can't see them, but they're on everything. Everything has germs. But I think it's really important to talk about how different surfaces allow germs to live longer than other surfaces. Germs can't survive on some certain surfaces forever, you know? So get into that if your kids are older. Explain that. Talk about it. Really help them understand what a germ is. Get on the internet. Pull up pictures, you know? Talk about these things. But some fun activities for those younger kids that need a more visual approach. This one was always one of my favorites when I was teaching. We would all sit down in a circle, and before we sat down or before I sat down the circle, I would spray my hand with like, your canola oil or coconut oil, whatever spray aerosol oil you have in the house, vegetable oil. And then I would put like some green fine glitter in my hand, okay? And I would just kind of wad my hand up in a fist and I would hold on to it. And we would start talking about germs, and then I would sneeze, pretend sneeze, into my hand. And then I would ask the person sitting next to me to shake my hand. And before we started this activity, I would explain, you know, we talk about germs that are on every surface and how things like sneezing and how germs live inside us and how when we sneeze and lick things and touch things, we are spreading germs. So then you're shaking someone's hand next to you, and that person shakes the next person's hand and the next person, and you go all the way around the circle. Before you know it, everyone has green glitter on their hands. And it's just a great visual example of how germs are spread. Now, I've been in some classrooms where they take this activity And it's just crazy because what they do is they just do this to all the kids. They spray their hands and give them some glitter, and then they just let them go crazy in the classroom, and they touch everything, and everything ends up being glittery. So you could do that, and you're going to end up with glitter all over your house. It would be a really great example, though. I mean, I guess it's glitter. It's going to, you know, get sucked up by the vacuum occasionally, but you would have, like, your vegetable oil all over the place. So it's up to you. You can either do it nice and controlled in a little circle at the table, or you could just let him go crazy and glitter the house. But either way, it's a great activity. It really drives home that point, and it's super fun. And the kids really, really enjoy it. Another great activity is the bread test. If you just go on to Pinterest and just enter in bread test, you're going to find it. This is another good one that I've done with several different classrooms. So you sit down and you have three pieces of bread and you have three different Ziploc bags. All right. And now you put on a glove and you take your first piece of bread and you do it with the kids watching you and you put it in a Ziploc bag and you seal it up. You have to wear a glove when you do it. So this is your control piece of bread, okay? So then the next one, everybody has, you're going to wash your hands, the teacher, wash your hands, pull out the piece of bread, and put it in a Ziploc bag. So that's your washed hand piece of bread. The last piece of bread, you're going to take it out of the bag, and you're going to pass it around to all the kids or all of your family members, and everyone's going to handle it and touch it, and then they're going to put it back in the Ziploc bag and zip it up, and that is your dirty piece of bread. Now, you're going to put these someplace in your house. We typically just taped them up on the wall or put them on a bulletin board, and you're going to let them sit for a week or a couple weeks. Just let them go, and you're going to notice them starting to mold or go stale. The one with the dirty hands is going to mold a lot faster. Why? Because it has more germs on it. It came in contact with germs, and those germs spread and they grow, and the mold latches onto them and it grows at a faster rate. It's really disgusting and it's kind of crazy, and it's going to make you like freak out and want to carry hand sanitizer with you everywhere. But it is. It's really fun and it's really gross, and the kids get super into it. So that's another fun one you can do. And just go on to Pinterest and search bread test, and you'll find all the details that I just explained to you. It's pretty straightforward, but if you don't feel like listening to this episode again, you can go find it on Pinterest. So my last recommendation for ways to prevent cold and flu is to use essential oils. I know I've talked about essential oils with you guys, and you're kind of been going along on this journey with me, because back in March is when I started using essential oils in our home, and I'm just still learning and still figuring out ways to use them and implement them, and it's really been exciting and fun and just really incredible, because I've just been getting to see firsthand how these work and how amazing they are. So if you don't know what essential oils are, you can go over and listen to the essential oil episode, and I talk all about what they are and where you can get them and how you can use them in some really awesome ways. But for a super in-depth what they are and where you can get them with all the absolute details, just go over to the blog homebasepodcast.com. Go over there, and there's actually a tab on the menu that says essential oils. You go there, and there's a post explaining everything perfectly, and there's some great pictures, and that will walk you through what they are, where you can get them, where I recommend getting them, where I buy them, because just like any food or all natural substance you buy, there's some with pesticides. And the big thing is, you can use oils that have pesticides, but you can't take them internally. And I really believe in taking them internally and being able to, you know, inhale them and drink them if need be, especially with cold and flu season. I think it's really great to be able to take these internally because I can put a couple drops in my tea, which I'm actually going to share with you guys on Instagram a recipe for, it's called Thieves Tea, and it's a great way to get over the flu or to just keep yourself in check so you don't get the flu. So it's super awesome, and make sure you stay tuned on Instagram so that you don't miss that. So, but I like buying them from this company that I talk about on the website just because they're absolutely pesticide free, and I know I'm safe taking them internally, and I'm not eating all those awesome cancer-causing pesticides. But anyways, so essential oils, some of them, most of them, are antibacterial and antiviral, but the ones for children that are safe to use for kids under the age of 6, and you say safe, Megan, why aren't some of the other oils safe? Because some oils can irritate your skin easier than others. Some are really soothing to your skin. Some can irritate them. Oregano is an example of one. They're called hot oils. When you put them on your skin actually will get really hot and may burn. So you just want to be careful. There are some oils that they just don't recommend on children just because their skin is so sensitive and fragile. So these are the ones I would recommend for cold and flu season that are antibacterial and antiviral, and that is tea tree oil, lemon, and lavender. And what's really great about all three of those is you can mix them together with some coconut oil, and voila, you have a diaper cream, a lotion, you have a vapor rub that you can rub on their chest, on the bottoms of their feet when they're sick, and this is going to help them. We use this as our lotion. This is what my son uses as lotion. So after he takes a bath, I just put some coconut oil with these oils in them. I melted the coconut oil down, put the drops of these oils in them, and then put it back in the fridge to help it re-solidify. And that's what his lotion is. And his eczema and stuff he used to have, guys, it's completely gone. It's awesome. So, yeah. You can put drops of these directly into their bath water, and that it's actually, I love doing that technique because then I shut the bathroom door and we put on the warm water and we put the drops in there and just the little a bit of steam, because obviously my kid's not taking a scalding bath, but it is warm, you know, and the little bit of steam kind of diffuses the oils in the air and really helps open those sinuses and kill all those germs up in there, because like I said, it's antibacterial, antiviral, so. One oil, though, that I absolutely love and I swear by, and I told you guys I was going to share the tea recipe with you, this oil is exclusive to Young Living, which is the company where I get my oils, and you guys can find out about it on the website. It's called Thieves, T-H-I-E-V-E-S, and it is a mixture of five different oils. It's a mixture of lemon, cinnamon, eucalyptus, cloves, and rosemary. It smells amazing. It actually smells like Christmas. Like, it's just an awesome oil. I absolutely love it. It's great if you have an essential oil diffuser. It's really great to just diffuse it in the house and then your whole family smells it. But basically this thing like just makes it almost impossible for you to get sick. If you are diffusing this and inhaling it and using it regularly in your house, it is amazingly pungent and powerful, super antibacterial, super antiviral. So I want to share with you guys a couple things that this oil does and will do for you, and you're just going to be like, oh my gosh, this thing is like the wonder oil. It really is. It can prevent infection and promote healing. It helps sore throats. That's why I'm saying it's really great in your tea. It helps with bronchitis. It's good for headaches. It's good on acne, protection from cold and flu, kills germs, helps clear up lung congestion. Creates a healthier environment for pets. So if you diffuse it, it helps calm and relax your pets, and you can use it to clean their cages and their water containers. Because, oh my gosh, our pets' like water bowls are probably, they're so disgusting. I don't even want to think about all the nasty germs and stuff that they're probably drinking constantly. I need to clean those things. Oh my goodness. But if you clean it with this oil, it's antibacterial and antiviral, guys, and it's all natural. So you're cleaning it and it's sanitized. It's awesome. It's super awesome. Cleaner clothes, you can add this directly into your laundry soap and it's gonna help your clothes be cleaner. Cleaner floor, you can mop with this. It repels insects, so you can spray it on your flowers and plants. It's all natural. It's not gonna kill your plants. This seems like such a waste to use it on this, but it does get that gummy, sticky adhesive like off of bottles and things, that like gummy residue, kind of like a Goo Gone. It helps bee and wasp stings. You can put it on there and it'll neutralize the sting and the burning sensation. It can be used to prevent and treat gum disease. You can use it to maintain healthy teeth and reduce cavities. It's a pain relief for toothaches. I need to use that. I didn't know that. I have like this one tooth that when I get stress, it hurts really bad. And so I need to remember that for sure. Solve mold problems, reduce congestion and phlegm in your, throat and all that. Pain relief and hastens healing, maintains health, helps stop smoking, cold sores, and canker sores. So see, you guys, this oil has that was 25 different uses. So that's pretty amazing. And it smells amazing. It's awesome. So please go over to the website and go check this oil out, because I wouldn't be telling you guys about it if it wasn't awesome. I make sure to only share with you guys the best of the best. This is like the VIPP of parenting here. Very important people parenting. That's what this podcast is all about. So, I'm all about using essential oils in my home, and just an example of specifically where I use a Thieves essential oil. Like I said, we diffuse it regularly, and a great example is I diffuse lavender essential oil in my son's room every night. And he had this dumb nasal congestion thing, and it had been going on for a week, and we just couldn't seem to get rid of it. And so I started diffusing the Thieves in his room, and 2 nights, and it's gone. I mean, he's fine, guys. His nose completely cleared up, and that was the only thing different that I started doing. So I really swear by this oil. My grandparents swear by this oil. They used it all last cold and flu season, and they did not get sick. So, and I feel like that's pretty impressive. And my grandma just diffused it in her house every single day. She just did a couple drops in her diffuser, and she diffused it all the time. And she would also, I think, diffused it while they slept. So, another great way I like to use it is putting it in my tea. It has this wonderful cinnamony citrus taste to it and smell. It really does. It just smells like Christmas. And so I love adding it in my tea because it's really delicious. So, yeah, great way to add it there. I make my own hand soap with it, and you can find a recipe for that in my essential oil episode. It's super easy and super cheap, and it's the best hand soap ever, and it smells amazing. So, and you can add other oils to it. So, like when you're not during the holiday season and you don't want your soap to smell like Christmas, you can add other things to it and brighten it up and make it smell like something else. But So it's really awesome. So there's some great ways you can use essential oils. I think they're really awesome on your kids because they're all natural. You know it's not going to hurt them, and you're not pumping them full of medications and things that really aren't great for your body in the long run. So so go check it out. Go listen to that episode. It really is awesome, and definitely go check out the post. And actually, I lied. That wasn't my last tip. I have one more tip, and you moms out there are probably going to roll your eyes a little bit at me, but this is my challenge for you. Set up, whether it's one day a week or a schedule or whatever, but make yourself set up and just tell yourself it doesn't have to be a permanent change. Just do it during cold and flu season. Set up a cleaning day, a day each week that you're going to clean the whole house. And I mean hardcore clean the house. You know, let's get down and vacuum. Let's get down and mop those floors. Let's wipe off all the surfaces, clean off the remotes, open the house up for 30 minutes or so, even if it's freezing outside, just to kind of get the air clear and clean and, you know, do a hardcore home cleaning. Do it once a week or every other week and just get the place spick and span and everything nice and clean. And that's another area where you can utilize that Thieves essential oil. But if you don't feel like going down that route, you know, just Lysol the crap out of everything and put tons of chemicals in your house. I'm just kidding. All right, guys, so those are my awesome tips, and you better believe these will be in a post that you can find on the website. And like I said, there will be a link on the website on the front page for that essential oils if you want to go check it out. And I'll put a link in the show notes too. So there's, you know, two ways you can go check it out now. All right, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back because I have an awesome parenting hack, and I have a super, super nerdy mommy mantra this week. You guys thought I got nerdy last week when I quoted Dumbledore. Just wait. You're going to want to stay tuned for this. Alright guys, we're back. Alright, so our parenting hack this week is pretty simple, but they're delicious. They're so delicious. I made some roasted pumpkin seeds. So we carved our pumpkin this past week because it was Halloween, and I know we carved ours late, but we carved it. And we scooped out all our pumpkin seeds and I roasted them up. And I have tried roasting pumpkin seeds like for the past couple years, and every year they just kind of come out like, not that great, but not like bad, No, this year I got it. I got it down. I did my research. I read a couple recipes and like started noticing a few things that were in common, and they turned out delicious and they're amazing. And I decided I needed to post it. Seriously, these things taste like popcorn. They're so good. And they're super, super simple. So go check out that post. It's over on the blog, homebasedpodcast.com. You don't want to miss out on roasted pumpkin seeds. And yeah, you're not going to want to. And what I really love about it is because they taste just like popcorn and they're delicious and crazy amazing. How awesome would it be to like give your family that instead of popcorn? Like, I know popcorn's not bad for you or anything because it's low calories or whatever, but pumpkin seeds are like super good for you. They have all sorts of great vitamins and minerals in them. And then you also, like, we eat ours in the shell because we got them from the pumpkin, and the shells are like, what a great source of fiber that is. So all sorts of nutrients in there. So I'm all about the roasted pumpkin seeds, and they're super delicious. I can't even say it enough. They're super delicious, guys. They're super delicious. Go check them out. Do it. All right, are you all ready for this super nerdy mommy mantra? I'm a little frightened to share this with you all because I may lose a couple of you. A few of you may just be like, I can't listen to this girl anymore. She's just too nerdy. I can't take it. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I love you all and I think you love me. So I feel like you should be allowed into my nerdy sphere of awesomeness. So before I had my son, me and my husband were quite the gamers, okay? We had pretty much every system you could possibly have, very into our Nintendo systems, and we had the PlayStations and the Xbox, and we had the PlayStation Vitas, which is the handheld system, and then we both have, you know, 3DSs, and so, yeah, no, we're super nerds, and we love it, but it's okay. So, some of you parents out there with older kids, maybe you've heard of a game called Animal Crossing. It's on the Nintendo DS. There's been a couple of the games that started out on the GameCube, and they've made a Wii game. Now there's a Wii U game. But anyways, so I have one of these games. I have several of them, but I have one on my 3DS, and I used to play it a lot until I had my son, and then I became a mommy, and I just don't have time for fun, awesome things that are selfish anymore. But so the gist of this game is, and it is really a great game if you're looking for a game for your kids, it's not all like guns and violence. This is a really great game. Basically, you show up in a town and you become their mayor and you slowly do different odd jobs in the town and you earn your house and then you have to pay it off and you can decorate it and design clothes and hang out with the townspeople and you can go fishing and plant fruits and farm, and it's super fun, it's super cute. But something that's really kind of interesting in the game is you can send your neighbors letters. And so I get these like random letters from little animal neighbors in my town, okay, because it's Animal Crossing, so your neighbors aren't people like you play, they're animals. And so I got a letter one day, and typically I just look at them, and they're normally, honestly, they're normally, the letters are quite just dumb. For lack of words, they're just kind of silly, you know, they're like silly letters. And this one I actually thought was really deep. And I remember when I read it over a year, probably 2 years ago, when I got this letter from one of my little animal neighbors, I thought, wow, video games are getting deep. And so I've kept it in my mailbox this whole time because I just really, really liked the quote in the letter. And so anyways, so a couple nights ago, I was like, man, I'm going to get out my DS. I haven't played in forever. I'm going to do this. So I got it out, and I was like, I'll play Animal Crossing. And so I put it in, and I get in my mailbox, and there's this little letter. And I'm like, what is this? And I open it up, and I was like, oh my gosh, here is our mommy mantra this week. So I hope you guys liked that little entertaining backstory. But so here we go. Anyways, the person that sent me in this game is a pig. Her name was Pancetti, if you guys care. But this is what Pancetti had to say to me. She said, if you think about it, letters have the power to stop time. They capture one moment in ink for eternity. And it means you can never age in letters either. So I thought that was super cute. I thought it was really great little thing in a video game. And I know guys, this is super nerdy and just kind of out there. But I really love this because it just inspired me to write some letters to family members. And I love sending letters and a little bag of tea in a card to family members, my aunt, my grandma, my cousins, because, you know, I keep all of my letters that I get from them. So, like, we write back and forth, and I just love it because it's so true. This quote is so true. It freezes that little time, what that person was thinking and feeling at that time in their life that they sent to you. That's never going to change. You have it in this little little letter forever, and I just love that. I think how fun would it be to write letters to your kids and they can read them when they're older. And I've actually done this. I've written a couple for if I have a daughter ever. Maybe I'll give them to my son. I don't think they specifically pertain to girls, but I just think how fun would it be, you know, someday for my kids to hear my voice from when I was younger in my 20s and, you know, not the voice that they'll probably be hearing when I'm older and they're in their teen years or whatever, you know. So I just think it would be fun, or maybe when they're older in their 20s, I can give it to them and be like, hey, I wrote this for you when I was the age you are now. And I just think that would be super cool, and I thought this was a super neat quote, and I thought it really was a great, awesome thing to maybe do this time of year, really reach out to those people in your family that maybe you haven't talked to in a while, or maybe you just want to make a memory. I really love this whole concept I've really been trying to embody the past few months of just making memories. And maybe that means I drop what I'm doing and I go spend time with my grandma, or maybe I, you know, don't make any plans for today and I spend the whole day doing something really special and really memorable with my son. I just think it's so important to stop, make these memories, because at the end of it all, that's what you have, are memories. You have memories with people, and you just, especially with your kids, man, that the time is fleeting and it goes by so fast. So make those memories and hold on to them, and write a letter. The art of letter writing is dying, guys. Let's bring it back. Bring it back. Write those letters. Keep them in a fun box somewhere. Reread them as the years go down or by or whatever. I think it's a great idea. So thank you, Pancetti from Animal Crossing New Leaf. We appreciate these wonderful words of wisdom. All right, guys. I hope this episode was helpful and awesome. And next week is going to be just as awesome. So make sure you go stay tuned, subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss a thing, and head over to the website so you can check out all the awesome goodies over there. All right, guys, I love you. Have a great first week of November. Enjoy. And I am going to be posting my picture tonight of our turkey on Instagram. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to last week's episode, because this is the hashtag thankfulness turkey challenge. So I want to see your guys' turkeys showing up on Instagram or at me on Twitter, okay? So just take a picture of your turkey and then hashtag it thankfulness turkey, all right? You guys are awesome. Love ya. Bye.